Morning, church. Today's reading is from 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Only one verse. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching.
Well said.
Yes, thanks, Etienne. That was excellent. Well done. I asked Etienne to read that one verse because I just think that couches what I would love to do today with us, which is, I literally want to read through one of the books of the Bible. If you're new to the Bible is made up of many different books, and I want to read through one of them, the whole one. And what we find in the verse that Etienne read to us is that one of the things that we're encouraged to do as Christians quite often is the public reading of Scripture. Without necessarily preaching it or unpacking it or trying to apply it, I mean, we should do that. It says that as well. Preaching, teaching, and the public reading of Scripture. Just read it. Don't do anything else with it. Just read it. That's what we're going to do today. That's all I'm going to do today. I'm simply going to read through this part of the Bible that's called the Letter to the Philippians. And so for you to engage and interact with me along the way, can I ask that you, if you're a drawer or a colouring innerer, there's some colouring in sheets, you're welcome to grab some of those. Kids, you can use those. There's some large printouts in the middle little table there that you can grab and read along if that'll help you. The text will be also on the screen behind me. And yes, feel free to grab any of that to just help you focus, concentrate, keep you engaged as we read this. Afterwards, I'll ask you, might just debrief a little bit. Ask for one thing that stood out to anybody. So just yell that back at me. So, and here's what I want to encourage you to do as I read this. Can you lean in and listen for just one thing, perhaps, out of this entire letter that you feel, wow, yeah, that was for me? Because as we read this, and as I speak it, the reality is there's something else happening here in another dimension. Spiritually speaking, the living Jesus, who we believe in, is resurrected and present with us by his Spirit. He is also speaking. And he's not just speaking a general bunch of information. He wants to speak to you. Listen particularly for some of the promises that God makes here and maybe pick up if some of that's for you today because you need it. It will be there. It is in there. I know it's in there because God promised that when we read his word, he will speak to us, each of us individually and together. So please, lean in, listen in. What promise do you hear in what I'm going to read? That you don't have to tell us why it's for you. You don't have to tell me anything afterwards in the feedback, but lean in and listen today. What's in there for you? I'm going to pray, then I'm going to jump in. Jesus, answer our prayer that we sang before. You speak. Thank you that you want to speak to us. That you gave us your own words through your servants that we're reading this morning. Help us now. Let us hear. Let us receive. Let us feed on this in such wonderful ways. So as to encourage us, lift us up, give us hope, challenge us. Do all that your word is meant to do, that you promised you will do for us this morning. We ask in your name alone. Amen. This is written by a person called Paul. He's writing to a group of people, the Philippians, but he's also writing to a group of people, Pathway. And here's what he says. I thank my God. Verse 3, jumping in. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he, this is God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless on the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and to the praise of God. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Paul is imprisoned, he's chained to a temple guard by the Roman Praetorium, just the context, literally, not an hour a day is he alone. He's changed to guards that every hour get changed, right, on as they do their shifts. This is what's happened to Paul. As a result of this, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I'll continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will be in no way ashamed. But I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I'll continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. We're about halfway through. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I've no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you send to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you, and he's distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I'm all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it's a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me in my old life, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Last chapter. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Judea and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Yet, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I've received full payment and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. let Dana read the last bit at the end of the service. Does anyone feel willing to just shout out one thing, one phrase, one promise that stood out to you from all that?
Rejoice in the Lord
always. From a guy in chains whose entire life is gone, sits there, says, hey, all's good. Rejoice. Look there. Look at him. That's how you rejoice. Yeah, right? Yeah. Anything else? Oh, what a lovely phrase. I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Do you ever think of Jesus as having affections for you? He has affections for me. I don't mean that in a boyfriend, but in a true, genuine, loving friend sort of a thing. It's so lovely. Is that sort of what you, yeah, the affections of Jesus Christ. So lovely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Get out of yourself and value others and, yep, like Christ, the humility. Yeah, thank you, Bianca. Yeah. Cool. Maybe, yep, sorry, Ruth and then Dini and then, yep, Will. How lovely. Yeah. I'm a mess. I'm still an unfinished project. There's still a lot of stuff that's God's still working on and working out. But I'm confident He's going to finish me. He's going to finish me. And how lovely. I love the confident. Be confident. You should be confident about yourself. Not because of you, but God will finish what He started. So good. Yeah. Thank you. Dini. Sure. Thanks, Dini. Yeah. The confidence, share the gospel. God's at work. And yes. All right, thank you. This is something we do from time to time in Pathway. So if you're new to us, we from time to time just love. And I mean, we do this in our discipleship groups and in mentoring relationships and so on all around the place. The beauty of God's word is that He empowers it with His Spirit. We read it together, two people in a group, larger groups, and from time to time as a whole group, just to rest ourselves in God's ability to encourage us and meet us and show us Himself. And that's what today was really about, as we sang as well. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing our final song, and we'll go from there. Lord Jesus, thank You that You, again, have spoken, and that You will never run out of stuff